We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
A gorgeous Friday afternoon here in the Crescent City, and you've got WWL Sports Talk on your radio dial. Mark Menard and Steve Geller in for Bobby Hebert and Christian Garrick, who are both no doubt enjoying this gorgeous day outside. But that's cool. We're here to take you all the way up to LSU baseball tonight. 7 o'clock first pitch, 6:30 pregame for game number two of the Tigers' weekend series against Auburn. They took game one last night 8-3. This hour, we'll be talking a little Pelicans at 5:30 with Ali Cosell of thebirdwrites.com. But first up, our first guest of the hour, a guy who is very familiar to you, Steve, from Saints game day Sundays.
Yeah, former Saints center, offensive lineman Steve Court, co-host of First Take. How you been, man? Missed you during the draft.
Hey, I'm doing great. How about you guys?
We are definitely hanging in there. So how was your excursion, your competition of powerlifting going? I don't know if you want to tell everybody about that.
Oh, yeah, I did well. I'm number six in the world.
In the world?
For 60 to 65, 5 years old. So it's a good accomplishment, but I'm still not done. I refuse to be number six in the world. I'm not going to stop until I'm number one. But
Steve Court, Mr. Worldwide.
I think people that know me realize that I was just born to compete, and that's what I'm doing. So that's sort of what I'm hung with now.
Well, that seemed a great accomplishment, Steve. Congratulations, obviously. And what were your initial thoughts? I'm guessing, like everybody else, when the Saints' first-round draft pick came on, and it was the Houston defensive end when everybody was expecting a corner or a linebacker.
Well, my job is to scout offensive and defensive linemen.
Right.
And sure enough, I did that. I looked at a lot of different things. But I'll be honest with you, I can't tell you anything different. I had no idea about Peyton Turner, really what he was about. And obviously, when they were picked, I was like, I thought it was a little bit of a stretch, just from the standpoint of I didn't know he was, what everybody else had him graded, and in looking at him, I hadn't heard a whole lot about him. To be honest with you, I hadn't watched a whole lot of University of Houston. So, look, it's like anything else, and you have certain guys that you work out with, and certain guys you watch and evaluate, and at some point you say, you kind of fall in love with a guy because you think of the way he fits, inside your defense, and then it becomes a thing where they'll try to punch holes in what your decision is, and if you can't find enough reasons to do that, they take a shot on you, and I think that's sort of what happened here. But look, I can't really blame too much on our evaluation guys because they've done such a great job in the past that I continue to think that they're – I don't think they got stupid overnight.
Yeah, and everyone talks about this kid's wingspan. I'm looking forward to hopefully getting to witness – rookie mini camp next weekend. We were wondering, Steve, of the top three picks with defensive end Peyton Turner, linebacker Pete Werner, and cornerback Paulson Adebo, which one of those guys does this team need most in year one? Who do they need to shine right out the bat? And it's tough because all three of those positions are really of need on this team.
Yeah, they are. They did a good job, and I'm speaking of the Saints here, of addressing the needs that I think that, I think I saw, and I think that's sort of what everybody else has had designs on as well. And I think that, the players that we picked, I think that, the Stanford corners, I think it's probably going to be a pretty good player. And I think that from what we've seen in the past with those types of guys that have come from that school, again, they do pretty well starting out. And the other part of it is Warner, the linebacker to me. He's a real active guy, you know, and I did watch him a number of times and saw him showing up a lot, really, for Ohio State and the things that he's done. So, look, we've had good success with Ohio State players and the guys that we've gotten from there. And you know that we're littered with them. Oh, the whole NFL is littered with guys from that school lately. So, you know, I think that that bodes well for him. And I think, what you could tell, he is a you know, linebackers are so much different than they used to be. Linebackers were guys that were, you know, 6 foot three, 6 foot four, and 206 pounds. Right. Those guys aren't really around that much anymore. And because the game has evolved to where it's much more of a speed game, now you've got guys that are really kind of big safeties that end up playing linebacker. And I think he fits that mode. And I think the way that he is active, and it looks like he's got very good instincts. So I expect him to probably to contribute right away.
Steve, what did you think of, like, the late round picks, particularly of a guy in your wheelhouse, offensive lineman, Landon Young from Kentucky? What do you think of this kid that kind of reminded Bobby of, he said he looked like Zach Strief Jr.
Yeah, and that's, I was kind of going to make sort of the same, allude to the same types of things. I like watching these late round picks on the offensive line. They seem to take advantage of the fact that they were picked late, and when they come in, I think they realize that they're pretty good. This guy's pretty good, and Kentucky, he played against some you know, obviously some stiff competition. It wasn't like he was playing against McNeese State or something like that every week. He was playing against SDC people. So this was something that when I showed out pretty well, and I think he was really one of their top linemen there, and showed so. And I think he was I thought he would actually go earlier than he did.
Do you think it was because he played for a program like Kentucky as opposed to one of the higher recruited he said he was recruited by some much higher recruited schools, some higher rated schools, and he chose to stay home at Kentucky. Do you think that hindered where he went in the draft?
I don't think so. I think that once you get there, and I think you're playing against some good competition. That's the first and foremost thing you look at. And then really the only thing you can talk about at that point is, hey, your product that you put on the field, and you look at tape on the guy and the number of times that he's played and they played well, and you realize he's playing against good competition. I think that's first and foremost what they look at. You know, all the other stuff that they can say about, you know, the measurables and the things they do with, you know, jumping and weightlifting and, you know, shuttles and those types of things, those are all good to know when you have to want to be comparisons, you know, when you start really looking at everything. But that's just sort of a sideshow. You know, the thing that they really look at is it's what you put on the field. And first and foremost, I think that's what's really going to help him stay.
Steve, when you look at the linebacker competition on the Saints as it's going to play out here in training camp and into the preseason and into the regular season, got a couple of young up-and-coming prospects. They got Zach Bond, who was drafted a year ago, and then you got Pete Werner, who they took in the second round this year. Do you think either of those guys will end up being the starter alongside DeMario Davis, or do you think it'll be somebody else?
I think it you know, it's hard to say at this point, but I'm thinking that it's probably going to be one of those two guys, because I think that's why they've look, I know they're high on Zach Bond, and we know how active he's been. And I, you know, watched him at Wisconsin. He's a good football player, super active guy. And really, Warner is almost like it's kind of got a cookie cutter of him. So both of the guys are sort of the same type of player, and I think they'll complement DeMario Davis. Look, if I had an opportunity and I was that kind of an athlete to play linebacker next to DeMario Davis, that would be something that I would really, really be pleased with, because to me, that guy is he's the best free agent acquisition that we've had in years, I think.
Talking with Steve Court, co-host of Saints Fans First Take on Saints Game Day once Saints season gets rolling. Steve, talking about the linebackers, we haven't really seen this team develop a linebacker that they drafted into a quality starter that can play every down. The best guys that they've had at linebacker are guys that they brought in free agency or trades, guys like Jonathan Vilma and DeMario Davis. Do you think the Saints can develop Bond or Werner into a top-notch linebacker?
Well, look, coaching assistant coaches, they work their tail off, and they know what they're doing. And I can tell you that we've had a number of good linebacker coaches here. So, to me, look, I don't know how coachable these guys are, and obviously I don't think that they would have drafted and or acquired anybody, being the Saints here, that it's not that kind of an athlete, because I think that's first and foremost kind of what they look for, is that character and that ability to be coachable. And I think that both those guys have demonstrated the fact that they're already really, really top-notch college football players and will come in and be coachable, because really that's you always think of linebackers coming in and really contributing first and foremost in special teams as a young guy developing. But we don't have that fortune at this opportunity, because we don't have as many guys in the bullpen there for linebacker. So somebody's going to have to step up. And I think that, the fact that we've got a Will linebacker like Davis, and then we've got two other guys really that'll, fill that Sam spot and then the Max spot, to me is that would be as a young rookie coming in, I would really make sure that I sort of crossed all the T's and dotted the I's and really made sure that I knew what I was doing mentally for this defense to come in and really take advantage of what you have here, because the numbers play out for you.
Steve, we just had the NFL put out some dates for preseason camps. Rookie mini camp will be next weekend for the Saints. And then after that, voluntary OTAs and mandatory minicamp. But we're not really anticipating there to be any OTAs because of the players basically coming together and saying that they're not going to be, taking part because of safety concerns. I mean, it just seems like it's going to be a lot of poor tackling, poor technique, and maybe possibly an increase in injuries because of not, doing these workouts on the field constantly. I don't know how do you feel about it with players coming together and saying, we're not going to do these voluntary workouts anymore? I figured it'd be a good joke to you.
It's weird. It's like the new normal, and I understand it. But you can look, the two things that can get you hurt playing football is not knowing what you're doing, so you don't know what's going on mentally. That can get you injured. And the other thing is getting you injured is the fact that you have either poor technique or you're in poor condition. Those three things right there are things you can point to and say, that's usually when guys get hurt. Now, there's freak things that happen all the time. They happen to players that are in great condition and know exactly what's going on, and something still happens to them. But by and large, when you get injuries that are preventable, they're preventable because the player was not in shape and or has poor technique. And I think that if we start to see, now I don't know, because last year it didn't bear out as much. It didn't bear out as much because I thought it was really going to be – I thought there would be a lot of I thought there'd be a lot of pre-snap penalties and things like that, of organizational type things. And it really, I guess, kind of goes to show you that the coaches did a great job of really sort of bringing that together and not making that a big deal last year. They did a good job of doing that, because I think there was some really good play last year. And I didn't see a whole lot of stuff that I was anticipating from being sloppy play early last year. Now, ball protection of the ball, that's like the thing. And then certainly tackling techniques. Those are things that, the tackling has gone by the wayside for a number of years now. Right. They're not nearly as good a tacklers as there used to be. But again, it's because the definition of tackling has changed. You can't stick your head into somebody's chest, and wrap them up and pile them into the ground and all that kind of stuff that made you used to be one of those textbook form tackles. Those are things that'll get you thrown out of the league now. So I'm always leery to think about, so how do these guys do this? They have to use their shoulders, which to me, that would hurt me worse than anything, is, ripping my arms out of my body as I'm trying to tackle a guy. But at the same time, I think, it's going to rely on your footwork, and it's going to rely on breaking down. It's all those things that you have to teach. You just have to teach them a little bit differently now. And then once you do that, you hope that those guys can replicate that on Sunday.
Steve Court, co-host of Saints Fans First Take on game days during the regular season. Steve, thanks so much for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Pleasure's all mine, fellas. Have a good one.
Sixth strongest man in the world for his age group, folks. The world.
He's going worldwide. Steve Court, thanks so much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.